WFORadio.com presents NHRA Nitro.
I'm Joe Costello, and this is WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. A weekly look inside the baddest motorsport in the world, NHRA Mellow Yellow Drag Racing.
It's side by side, it's competition, and it's who wins, and then the chair of the crowd.
Join me as we go WFO with the stars of drag racing.
Hey, I'm Bob Tasca.
I'm Tony Schumacher.
Hey, you're with Matt Hagen.
Hey, this is Ron Capp, Matt Hagen's personal friend. You're on WFO.
NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt stops by each week to break down each race and answer your email questions.
I mean, the Nitro cars put on a tremendous show. They're otherworldly machines. But for people that are really interested in cars, I mean, you wander through the Superstock pits, and if you're wondering why you don't see 69 Camaros running around on the street anymore, it's because they're all out there in the stock and Superstock pits.
Racing fans from around the globe, it's time to go WFO with Joe Costello.
WFO Radio. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of WFO Radio NHRA Nitro. I'm Joe Costello, and we have got a monster show for you tonight. The Super Bowl is over. It's in the books. Of course, the team I was rooting for was victorious, but now it's on to racing season. We are getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals. It is next weekend. Can you believe it? Of course, I will be out there. I know you'll be out there, and we definitely got to hang out. But up until that, we're going to keep you connected with the sport of NHRA drag racing. Tonight on the show, we touched on it a little bit last week, the new format of the National Dragster. Bi-weekly magazine, nationaldragster.net. But who better to speak about it than the Vice President of Publications at NHRA, Adrian Ritter, going to be joining us, talk all about the vision, the decision-making, how you get it, all of that coming up on this show. Also on this show, he won three races in 2012. He made five final rounds, two number one qualifiers. Steve Torrence, the driver of the Capco Top Fuel Dragster, is getting ready for 2013. And we're going to talk about Steve's attack on the new season and if he can improve on his 2012 stats. I think he can. Also on the show, I've been saying we want to talk to the photographers a little bit more because, after all, they see it all, and most of what we see is through their eye. Joining us on the show will be Roger Richards from CompetitionPlus.com. He posts gallery after gallery whenever he goes to the national events, thousands and thousands of photographs. We're going to get behind Roger's viewfinder, and he might even give us a tip or two so those of us who occasionally like to pop a shot can maybe improve our work. And then, at the tail end of this show, we've been talking to him for about a year about his show Dreams to Champions. Well, it debuts tonight, 9 o'clock Eastern Time on Speed, Dreams to Champions with Brian Olatunji. There's a drifter, there's a NASCAR guy, and there's a drag racer. Brian O, we've heard all the behind-the-scenes stuff, the things, the problems with cars and problems with the cameras. We even were in front of the camera at the U.S. Nationals. Well, the show debuts tonight, Dreams to Champions on Speed. We'll catch up with Brian O. But first, we start them all off the same way here on NHRA Nitro with NHRA track announcer Alan Reinhardt. Alan, welcome back.
Joe, great to be here, as always. Wouldn't be Tuesday.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we're down to the wire now. It's very close. I can smell the nitro in the air.
I know. Just one more stump the dummy day, and then we can go racing and talk about that. Maybe next week we should just do a preview of the Winter Nationals and, like, put the axe to the stump the dummy stuff.
Folks, if you've got a question for Alan, it's 954-889-6796. You heard him. He wants your questions for next week.
I think you misinterpreted what I said.
Oh, your phone cut out.
Yeah, let's go with that. By the way, it didn't take you long to bring up the Super Bowl. How long would it have taken you to bring that up if your team had not won?
What? I wouldn't even have mentioned it.
That's kind of what I figured.
You know, Ron Capps owes me a dollar now. $1. American currency. I'm very excited to collect. It's a big thing for me.
I understand.
I hope he autographs it. That would be cool.
Well, you're going to be out in Pomona. You can put that towards a double-double.
Yes, yes. I think it's going into the retirement plan, maybe pay down the principal on my home. I don't know. What'd you think of the game, Alan? Let's go there for a moment.
I think Ron is the one that kicked the plug and turned the lights out when his guys needed to regroup a little bit there after the start of the second half.
Very possibly. Did you see
you
him?
Know, two things I got out of the game, that maybe three things. One, congratulations to the Ravens. They did a terrific job, and they absolutely, you know, they won the game, no doubt. If I'm the 49ers, I know that it's like one of the oldest rules in football. You can't keep settling for field goals. Four times they had a first down inside the 20. Three times they got a field goal. One time they got it stuffed down their throat. And, of course, the last play of the game is the one you always remember. If your game plan is such that one iffy call means you're going to lose the game, then you've got a bad game plan. But when the ball's in the air, the guy's 7 yards from the line of scrimmage and the defender is holding his jersey, that's a penalty. So, you know, for everybody that said, well, you know, it was okay, if they'd have thrown a flag on a play, nobody would have complained that he should have let that go. So it is what it is, but congratulations to the Ravens. They did a great job, and you know, we'll see what happens next year.
The Joe perspective on that call is that it was, you know, let him play, man. Let him play. Keep the flag in your pocket, ref, zebra. Don't even think about factoring into the final play of the Super Bowl.
Would you have felt the same way if their shirts had been different colors?
Well, you know, the
universe... 7 yards down the field, the ball is in the air, and the defender is holding his jersey. That's a penalty.
It looked like he pushed off to me, you know. Offensive. If I called it offense. Plus, the ball, I think, was uncatchable, too, all of it. Look, the Ravens are a defensive team built around defense, their grit and guts and determination, and their defense, as much as Joe Flacco won the MVP, their defense was able to stop the Niners when it mattered in the red zone, which is basically what you said. And it was a game of inches. And the power outage, that was crazy. Beyonce just sucked all the energy out of the place.
Yeah, that was definitely one they'll be talking about for a long time. And again, I'm not taking anything away from the Ravens. Congratulations to those guys. They played a heck of a game. But, you know, yeah, like I said at the top, San Francisco, four times they had a first down inside the 20 and ended up with three field goals and one stop. You know, they did score a couple of touchdowns, but you can't win games by doing that. You've got that many opportunities to put seven on the board, and any one of those sevens would have won the game. So, at least it was a good game. You know, it comes down to the end. What was your favorite commercial?
I was just going to ask you that. I honestly, favorite commercial. I always liked the car commercials. The one with Paul Harvey and the farmers.
I like that one too.
It was pandering totally to the farmers. The Dodge guys were like, we're going to go get every single farmer to buy our trucks. But I can see it totally working. It was very emotional. The Mercedes CLA commercial with Willem Dafoe as the devil, I thought that was pretty cool too. And then it comes up as 29,000. You as a Mercedes guy, I was looking at that car. I thought it was easily 50 grand looking, and it was 29,000. I thought that was pretty impressive. I can tell you which one I disliked the most.
What's that?
The Bar Raffaele.
Oh yeah, that was awful.
That was awful. Hideous, horrible. Like I never knew if hideous canceled out beautiful, but it does. Hideous cancels out beautiful every time. It was everyone, the sounds, the smack. It was just the worst thing I've ever seen in my whole life.
I agree with you on everything you said. The one thing that I would add, and I really did like the Paul Harvey commercial. I was a guy who always listened to Paul Harvey when he was alive and doing his radio news and commentary. But right at the top of the deal, the M&M's commercial, I laughed for 5 minutes.
Oh, where they're putting him in the oven.
Yeah, I was like, I won't do that. Nope, I'm not doing that. I was dying. I thought that was a terrific commercial.
It was, but would you agree with this? Generally speaking, the commercials were pretty weak compared to years past.
Yeah, I mean, there've definitely been some that were, you know, some in years past that were better. The Budweiser Clydesdale commercial was a pretty good one, too, I thought.
And, yes.
You know, read the story about that. I thought that was when they filmed the Colt part of that commercial, the Colt was literally 7 days old. And, you know, obviously a lot of thought, a lot of time went into that. Now, it wasn't the same horse 3 years later, obviously, the magic of television, but I did like that commercial. Yeah, there weren't quite as much pizzazz as in some of the years past, I guess is how I'd put it. But I really did like the M&M commercial.
Yes, very good. There were a couple here and there that were good, pretty good, and I think the standout is the Dodge truck Paul Harvey commercial. Everybody pretty much talks about that. And most talked about is the two kissing, which we will never talk about again in protest.
Yeah. Just let that completely go.
Yeah, just banned forever. All right, let's get into the stories of the day. We do have a couple of questions for you, but a couple of big stories out there. One that I really want to delve into, one we can touch on. The first, Spencer Massey returns at DSR. There are some rumors about maybe things, shockwaves occurring, maybe some people behind the scenes leaving DSR as a result of it. Who knows? But Spencer is back. The guy won 10 races. He has the national record for speed. He's obviously a qualified driver. Just a couple of weeks ago on this show, I said he was the best guy on the sidelines. Well, now he's back.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting announcement, the way it all came down. And I haven't spoken to any of the principals. I really don't have any inside information on it. Spencer obviously has shown that he can handle the car. I do believe that part of the deal over his dismissal got kind of blown out of proportion back in November. But it looks like the parties have been able to put it all behind them, and I think everybody else in Top Fuel has probably groaning a little bit because that team has been so strong the last few years, and they're going to have to deal with them again. But as far as, you know, some of the other stuff going on, some of the rumors, I don't have any inside information, and I'm not going to speculate.
We did reach out to the folks at DSR, and they said they'll address this at the Winter Nationals and put it in the rearview mirror at that point. I am content to wait for that opportunity to see how it goes. All I know is it is unfortunate that nobody really knows the actual story, but so many people, and if you see on the internet, people are posting as if they do know the exact details of what went down, and we'll never know. And so it's going to be a difficult situation, I think, for people involved, at least in the short term, but I'm sure it will settle itself once we get a couple of races under our belts.
I think you're right about that. I think once everybody kind of gets back in the groove and back into the swing of things, you know, obviously Don Schumacher is a businessman. He's going to do what's best for his business. Spencer obviously has proven that he can handle the task of driving the car and getting the job done and doing that. So whatever issue came up between them, they were able to put it to bed and put it behind them, and we'll see what happens going forward.
Exactly. And I would imagine at some point there will have to be some explanation just to smooth things out so people can move on. I'm content to see if and when that comes. The other piece of information that I think is interesting, and I do want to delve into with you here today, is that NHRA has announced a change to the rules regarding Top Fuel and funny car modifications, Section 17 and 18 of the 2013 rulebook, and it is a couple of paragraphs. I could read it. Instead, I'll just encourage people to go online. We put it on our Facebook page. You can check it out at NHRA.com. It's all over the internet. Generally speaking, it sounds to me, as I read it, as a freeze in the rules. No more modifications that will result in making these cars go faster. You cannot modify anything. If it is not approved right now, it is not approved. And if you show up with something that is unapproved, it will be a minimum fine of $25,000 and 75 points deducted. Am I right the way I'm reading that?
Yeah, that's pretty much the way I read it. It looks like, you know, they're putting a moratorium on performance-enhancing parts and performance-enhancing adjusting the parts or modifying the parts. And I really think that's a good idea. You look at the performance of the cars now, even with the 1,000-foot distance, just how fast they're going, how quick they're getting down the racetrack, and do we need more? I don't think so. You look at the parity in the class from top to bottom, and that's very strong now, probably stronger than it's ever been. Everybody that longs for the good old days, I think, is kind of blocked out the fact that in the good old days, Prudhomme would be a tenth and a half faster than the second quickest qualifier in funny car, and the level of competition wasn't anywhere near what it is now. And I believe that I believe that NHRA is trying to keep the super teams from A, spending themselves into oblivion, and B, spending everybody else out of business. You look at the strength of the Don Schumachers, who manufacture so many of their own parts in-house, the John Force guys that do that, the Alanabi team, which obviously has big budget and a lot of technology. And if you don't put some constraints on those guys, the three of them are going to spend themselves into oblivion and spend everybody else out of business. So I really do believe that it's a wise choice. I think it's good for the sport. I think it'll help the trickle down a little bit, that, you know, some good, high-quality used parts are going to become available quicker, simpler, and more affordable to some of the low-budget teams. And I think it's good for, I really do think it's good for everybody, even though guys that have stuff on the drawing board think it's terrible. You know, one of the all-time classics, I remember Dale Armstrong back in the day when NHRA put the 320 rule in, when they were literally, they made no bones about it, they were afraid of what would happen when the car started going 300 miles an hour. So they put the 320 gear ratio rule in, and everybody hated. I mean, yelled, screamed, threw tantrums. If the internet had been around in that day, it would have been the biggest story of the century. But 3 months later, everybody realized those guys saved us $500,000 because they used to have four different gear ratios in the trailer. They used to have to make decisions, try everything, and that was one piece of the equation that was taken out. It also allowed the manufacturers to gear up, and you know, if you're going to make 500 sets of 320 gears, the price is going to come down quite a bit as opposed to if you're going to make 100 sets of 280, 100 sets of 290, 100 sets of 3.0, and it just was good for everybody. And I believe that this will be seen the same way, historically speaking, even though there's probably some guys right now that, top fuel should be unlimited, you shouldn't put any bounds on them, you should just let them go. That's never the way it's been, and it doesn't need to be that way now.
Well, we already have a challenge with the speeds already. Maybe if there was a super track that was 2 miles long with no property, we could do that. But my thought is about guys like Alan Johnson. I understand he has recently developed a new set of cylinder heads, and a lot of teams are trying it and finding good success. And maybe it's timing or coincidence otherwise that after that set, which I'm sure has been in development for a while, is out and available, now they freeze the rules. What about a guy like that? Does that mean innovation stops? We've been talking a little bit about some things here or there on the show, changing firing orders and getting creative with what's going on inside the engine to try to find that extra advantage. Is that all stopping? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing if it does stop, but is the sport being changed from a sport where you're hunting for horsepower in any one of a million different ways that we may not even know of yet, to a sport where everybody's got the same stuff, access to the same stuff, and it's just about tuning the car on that given weekend?
Well, the sport has been there, you know, more or less for quite some time. And again, you go back into the early days, you know, what everybody thought was the heyday of the sport, and boy, we need to go back. Guys were getting Hemis out of junkyards, and everybody had access to the same stuff. It's just a matter of, you know, can you tune it? Can you control it? What can you do? And then, well, okay, better superchargers are coming along, and maybe somebody found some cylinder head modification or some port thing or some valve size or something that worked better than everybody else. As long as you could keep it a secret, you had an advantage. Once somebody realized what you were doing, the secret was out, and then everybody, you know, kind of caught back up a little bit. But there have always been restrictions. There have always been issues, and I don't think you ever want to get to a point where, you know, if you just turn them loose, again, the budget that Don Schumacher has, the technology that they have in that building is astounding. For Alan Johnson, you could say exactly the same thing. For John Force, the same thing. And if you don't put some constraints on those guys, they will spend themselves right into oblivion and spend everybody else out of the sport. So, the performance is good right now. The numbers are strong. The cars are thundering. I don't think any fan is leaving the racetrack going, well, you know, gee, that car only went 326 miles an hour. I hated that. And the parity is so good right now, I don't know that anything needs to be improved. Let's just race with what we've got for a while. Now, also, you know, obviously the door has been open for approved parts. NHRA doesn't want anything going forward, but if a Don Schumacher, if an Alan Johnson, if a John Force, if a Tim Wilkerson, for that matter, comes up with something that is better, that does not increase the cost, that will help. You know, there's no moratorium on safety. So if somebody comes up with something that, hey, look, this won't be a performance advantage, but it will help parts last longer, it will make things better, and it will be safer, NHRA is certainly not going to turn their back on that. They just don't want anybody to continue trying to figure out ways to make better parts to go faster. Let's see how fast you can go with the parts you got.
And one final angle on that, just to cover it in every which way, the result of this may be some money saved or not spent, but does this de-emphasize the tuner position? Because in 2 years from now, in 5 years from now, the cars are still running approximately the same as what they are because the rules are in effect frozen or stalled at this point here. So the people working within the sport will learn. The wealth of knowledge that is out there already will leak out, will spread, as you mentioned, and all of a sudden, potentially, the superstar, rock star crew chiefs, the information that they've got gets leaked out to some other guys. Maybe some smaller teams can hire those guys. Is that going to be part of the result of this part one. And part two, is this going to re-emphasize even more so the really great drivers? Because once everybody's pretty much locked into similar setups, similar horsepower, similar all of that, that reaction time and a good driver makes all the difference.
Well, I think it's going to re-emphasize both. I don't think it'll de-emphasize anything. If you took IROC cars from back in the day and you gave one to Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus, do you think they wouldn't be able to win with it? You know, the crew chiefs are still going to be, they're probably going to be an even more important part of the equation, because you can't just say, well, gee, I've got a cylinder head nobody else has got, so as long as I don't screw up, they won't be able to catch me. You're going to have to work with what you've got. You're going to have to be able to read the track conditions, make the right decisions. You know, I think just about anybody out there can take a top fuel car and run 390. I think I could probably do that if you give me six or seven runs. What the really good crew chiefs know is how to run 375 and when you can get away with running 375. Because obviously there are times when track conditions, weather conditions just don't dictate. So you've got to, A, know, okay, the fastest anybody can go out here right now is 380, and I know how to make my car run 380 in these conditions. So an experienced crew chief is going to be an even bigger part of the equation now, because you're not going to be able to have a magic bullet. You're going to have to work with the same stuff basically that's available to everybody and see who can work with it better. So, you know, yes, the drivers are going to play a bigger role. Reaction time has been huge the last 4 or 5 years. It's going to continue that way. But the really good crew chiefs are still going to be highly in demand, and they're still going to win most of the races, just as they always have.
Very interesting, and we'll see how it all plays out starting next weekend at the O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals. All right, a couple other questions for you, Alan. We delved in very deeply, and don't forget, folks, we got Adrienne Ritter. She is the Vice President of Publications for the NHRA, does National Dragster and their fan guides and everything. She's going to come on, tell us all about the new dragster. Got Steve Torrance coming on. Roger Richards going to give us some photography pointers and give us some thoughts on his career. And then Brian O got his show dropping tonight, 9 p.m. on the East Coast, Dreams to Champions. Alan, you ready for a couple more of these questions?
Oh, I'm glad we're about ready to start racing again. Sure, fire away.
Don't forget, folks, next week he wants the big tour de force of your questions.
No, actually, I'd rather relive the Super Bowl.
Yeah, we could do that, too. We'll talk about that Bar Raffaele commercial over and over. All right, first one.
Hi, Joe. It's Glenn Verde calling from Ontario, Canada. My question, I just wanted to... Oh, congratulations on your three-peat, by the way. And I just wanted to ask you a question. Not much is mentioned ever about the earnings in the NHRA from a pro standpoint and a sportsman standpoint. So maybe Alan could answer this question. But basically, I'm looking at what kind of money they get on contingency, and what the crew gets on a win or a championship, and just basically how it all works. Thank you very much, and again, congratulations on your three-peat.
Thanks on the congratulations. Alan?
Well, almost all of the races, and it may be all of them now, are over the $1 million mark in available purse when you put in purse and contingency. There certainly aren't any secrets about it. It's all published National Dragster, and it's you know, information that all of the racers have, because you've got to decide, well, you know, gee, does it make sense to change from this parachute to that parachute, or this fire suit to that fire suit, or this motor oil to that motor oil? Can I make more contingency money? What can I do with it? As far as the teams, the crews, the bonus programs, that's different from team to team to team. Some of the teams out there are everything's in one bucket. If there's three or four cars or five cars on the same team, then they take the total money won by all the cars and divide it equally among all the crew members, you know, based obviously on seniority and position. And some of the big teams are completely separate, where, you know, if two teammate funny cars were to run against each other, the winning team gets a bigger bonus than the losing team, and they keep all those things separate. As far as exact figures, what the guys make, I'm not going to go into that. That's, you know, private information between them and their employers. But as far as purses, as far as contingencies, as far as what's available, those are all published figures. There's no secret about that.
A top fuel win at, say, the Gator Nationals?
I believe it's 50 or 60 grand.
Not a bad little payday?
No, not bad. And you look at, you know, the season-ending bonus at the end of the year last year, Don Schumacher took, $1.2 million or $1.4 million just in season-ending bonuses between his teams, and took it and put it back in the bank. So, you know, the numbers aren't quite as big as NASCAR. They're certainly not as big as Formula One, but who is, as far as expense stuff? But actually, as far as earnings, they're bigger than Formula One, but that's a whole other story. But there's, you know, there's certainly money out there to be made. There's still sportsman guys that are out there making a living doing it. You just have to, you have to be able to win and win consistently.
Next question, this one coming from Chris in the UK, one of our listeners across the pond, regarding the Competition Plus rumor about the resignation of Tommy Johnson Jr. If it is true, do I think, or do you think, a team like JFR or Coletta will take him on for his track specialist duties, or do you think it will be a more focused effort to get a ride in 2013? I really hope we see him on the track soon. 2008 with Bernstein in the funny car seems like such a long time ago for such a talented driver. Keep it WFO, says Chris in the UK.
I honestly don't know the answer to that. I haven't talked to TJ. I've seen the rumor as well, but haven't seen anything really confirming it. You know, Lanny is over at John Force's place, so would they bring in another track consultant? I can't see it. Would Coletta, maybe? You know, I don't know, maybe. You know, he might be able to do some freelance stuff or do some other things. And you know, Tommy is a guy who can wear a whole lot of different hats in an organization. So I don't believe that if he is no longer with DSR, he would stay unemployed long. And I don't know for a fact that he's no longer with DSR.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate either, having spoken with Tommy. What I will say is this, and to use an Allen term, I don't think I'm speaking out of school when I say a guy like Tommy Johnson really wants to be driving the car. And I think his expertise and skills are the word wasted comes up if he is a track specialist. The guy is a really strong, intelligent, well-thought-out driver. And if he's going to do anything, maybe the best thing for him to do is beat the boardrooms and try to figure out how to get back in one of these cars. Because I agree with Chris. I think the guy is the goods, and I'd love to see him out there behind the wheel of a race car.
I would as well. And you can say that about a number of guys that are on the sidelines. But, you know, the bottom line is you still have bills to pay. So if you can get into a situation where you're still involved with the sport, where there's a team that you can help, where then, you know, having that weekly paycheck is kind of nice while you go out and work on the other end of the deal. But, and again, I have not heard anything definitively that says he absolutely positively has left DSR. So that really is still just a rumor. For all I know, he may still be there.
Absolutely. We do not know. All right, next question. Question for Alan. This one's going to get you, Alan. I can tell right now, folks. Get ready. This is from Mike. A guy named John Mihovits had a 2002 twin-turbo Cougar in NHRA Competition Eliminator that ran mid-sixes around 215 miles per hour. I've not seen that car in a few years. My question is, do you know the specs on that engine and who built it? How much would a turbo engine that would allow me to run 690s to 750s cost? I have a nitrous motor that makes close to 1,600 horsepower. Would cost and maintenance be more or less on a turbo engine than it would on a nitrous engine, asks Mike.
Well, I can tell you that maintenance on a turbo engine would be less than it is on the nitrous engine, just from watching the really fast pro mod guys that are really leaning on that stuff pretty hard. John Mihovits is still doing some racing. He's running some of the West Coast streetcar stuff. He runs with the PSCA. I think he runs some of those other organizations as well. That was a 5.4-liter twin-turboed modular motor, if memory serves. And it was a technological, I mean, way beyond me, unbelievable piece of equipment. But it was very friendly on parts. You know, one of the problems with the turbo cars is they make so much power, keeping them under control can be a real issue at times. And that was the biggest problem they had. As far as what would it cost to build a turbo motor, I guess I could give you Steve Petty's number. I've never put one of those together, and I've never tracked down those numbers, so I won't speculate. But I do know that the turbo guys, if you can keep those motors happy, they seem to be pretty maintenance friendly, as compared to some of the other combinations that are out there.
There you go. I think you got out of that one. I'm going to ring that up as an answer. Good job.
I'm not afraid of the tech stuff. It's some of the other stuff that scares me.
All right, final question, 954-889-6796. That's 954-889-6796. Questions for Alan. Next week, the final week of the off-season, we got some big guests already planned. But if you got a really good question for Alan, this may be your last opportunity until an off week. But this one coming in from a great friend, Craig, out there in the Northwest.
Craig from Seattle calling WFO, repeat champion. Anyways, question for Alan. We're slicks for Fun Car and Top Fuel. Is there a set amount of time that Goodyear has for how long they run a certain tire that they're running right now? Or is it all determined on the wear and tear that the tires are showing? Or is there a set time that after 5 years they're running this kind of tire, they're going to change it no matter what? Because I know it's a big deal. I remember the last time they changed the tire. It's a big deal to the crew chiefs, obviously. Just wondering if there's a set time or is it just determined on the wear and tear of the tires that they're running now are showing if they're holding up good. Anyways, next Wednesday at this time, we will be smelling the nitro in Pomona. I'll see you guys down there. I cannot wait. Talk to you guys later. Have a great week. Bye.
Says Craig in Seattle.
What would we do without the Northwest Nitro Fanatics?
They represent every week. One thing about Craig, he represents every week and has a thirst for knowledge.
Well, Goodyear is constantly looking at ways to improve the tires in nitro racing. I think a lot of casual fans may not know that at every event, Goodyear has a couple of engineers that are at the top end of the racetrack checking temperatures, checking wear, looking the tires over on every car that comes down the track, whether it smokes the tires, whether it runs low ET, and that's from the first qualifying session until the final round of Top Fuel. So the Goodyear guys are constantly monitoring the tires and looking for ways to make them better. It's been a while since we had a major change in tires, but the folks at Goodyear who have done such a tremendous job supplying us with tires for so many years are constantly looking at ways to make them work better, to make them safer, to make them last longer, and I don't believe that they're sitting back right now saying, okay, by 2015 we've got to have a new tire out. But they are constantly monitoring what's going on out there and what's happening with the tires and always looking for ways to improve them. If they come up with one that does, they usually will construct some tires. They'll contract with one of the teams to go out and do some testing with them, make a determination from there on whether or not what works, you know, what looked good in theory, what looked good on the computer really pans out on the racetrack. And if it turns out to be a better tire, well, then they put them into production. But, Goodyear is constantly studying, looking at ways to make it better, and paying attention to what's going on out there.
Our great friend Lee Elder set up an interview with one of the Goodyear engineers when we were in Gainesville last year. If Craig wants to go to our archive, he can, I'm sure, bring that one up and hear all about the Goodyear tires. Now, what about one set, Alan? Obviously, they always wear out before their life expectancy.
You know, some of the guys I know have gotten 5, 6 runs, 7 runs, 8 runs out of them. I don't know anybody's getting more than that, but I don't think 5 or 6 is out of the realm. You know, depending on track conditions, depending on what kind of run it makes, depending on what happens, there are times when, you know, 1 or 2 runs is the norm. I think the interesting thing that, again, a lot of people probably are not aware of is there are times when you really want to have scuff tires as opposed to new ones. And the big budget teams that can afford to buy a lot of tires will give new tires to some of the lesser budgeted teams and let them make a run or two on them to break them in so that they will have scuffed tires, because it's not like in practice you're just going to go out and scuff a pair of slicks. You know, like the NASCAR guys may put on some tires and go out and run 3 or 4 laps so they'll have scuffs later in the race. But a number of the big budget teams, as a matter of fact, all of the big budget teams have a partnership with somebody out there that helps them break in tires. And, you know, for a little bit of a lower-funded team, knowing that, okay, hypothetically speaking, if 375 is going to be a brilliant run out there and you have to have scuffed tires, you have to have used tires, and the best anybody thinks they can go is 377 or 378 on new tires, well, do you want the tire bill or do you want to go out there and run your 377 and hope for the best? And, you know, as those tires are fairly pricey, so for a team that's operating on a fixed budget, having somebody that will supply them with tires for free is kind of a godsend, and most of the big teams have somebody out there that they work with.
That sounds like a nice little symbiotic relationship, and I really like it. Alan, great job, my friend. You've made it through the gauntlet one more time.
Hot dog. All right. Well, next week we preview Pomona, and then we go to Pomona. So no more Stump the Dummy, at least for a couple of weeks. Because after that, we got racing for at least the next 3 weeks, you know.
That is correct, except for next week's questions, which we'll keep them limited. 954-889-6796 or by email, joe@wforadio.com. But, you know, we are definitely going to preview Pomona. There is a lot going on. I'll be out there on Friday. I'm getting in on Friday. So maybe some taco stands, maybe some Pomona favorites, who knows. But I'm very excited. The beginning of the 2013 Mellow Yellow Drag Racing season, it begins. So many things have changed and morphed. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I am too. If for no other reason, it's just been so long since we were there. So, yeah, I can't wait to get back. Sounds like a few of the teams are going to be in Vegas this coming weekend. They've got a PSCA event up there, and they're going to have open testing for anybody that wants to stop by and make a couple of hits on the way to Pomona. And from what I hear, there will be at least a few teams up there knocking the cobwebs loose before they head over the mountain and on to L.A.
Very, very cool. Alan, thank you so much, as usual.
Joe, always a pleasure. I will talk to you next Tuesday and see you just a couple of days after that.
We'll see you next time. We'll see you there.
All right, Joe, I'll talk to you soon.
The NHRA's Alan Reinhardt joins us each week right here on WFO Radio. And yes, next week, your last chance to ask various questions. We'll have other opportunities throughout the year, but we use Alan mostly for race recap, race preview, and get his thoughts on various situations. The whole rule freeze, it has kind of been like this for the past couple of years, but my opinion is this. Anything that you can do to make the sport more affordable to more people. I'm not talking about a guy like myself. I'm not going to be able to start my own Top Fuel team. It's just not possible. It's not feasible. It's just too much money. But when you talk about bending the cost curve a little bit, more people can potentially get involved, and I think it will be an interesting idea. We'll just have to see how it all works out and in practice. But as Alan said, it's kind of been similarly in practice for the past couple of years. All right, we're going to get into it now because we've got a lot to cover on this show. If it's your first time, well, welcome to WFO Radio. Each week we start off with Alan Reinhardt, then we move into our guests. Tonight, NationalDragster.net, the new format. Digital, the new magazine, bi-weekly, feature style. We spoke about it last week. I gave you my thoughts. This week, we've got Adrienne Ritter. She is the NHRA Vice President of Publications. She's going to tell us all about it, how it went down, what went into the decisions, and what we can expect from the new National Dragster in the coming months and years. Adrienne Ritter coming up on the show. Steve Torrence also coming up on the show. Steve burst on the scene last year. He's been successful in Lucas Oil ranks and been trying to crack into Top Fuel in a big way over the past few years. Well, decided he needed his own team, his family team, done his way, and boy, did it work. 3 wins and 5 final rounds, 2 number one qualifiers, finished 9th in the point standings. Steve Torrence will be joining us on the show. We'll speak with Steve about his preparation for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals. Then later on in the show, I mentioned a few weeks ago that I wanted to have some more photographers on the show just because they do so much for the sport and they are artistically inclined and always, it's usually a great photograph, right, that you notice or you see spread all around the internet. It's usually a great photograph that really captures a moment in time. It's because there are so many of them out there. We'll be speaking with one of them. Roger Richards from CompetitionPlus.com will be joining us on the show. How did he get started? And maybe even some tips for you guys, how you can get better at your own drag racing photography. And then to end it all off, we spoke with this guy for the first time about a year ago. We learned about the fact that he was going to do a show on speed as a drag racer. Dreams to champions, tonight is the night. If you're listening on Wednesday or Thursday, oh, you missed it. Those of you listening on Tuesday, you got it. Tonight is the night, but don't worry. There'll be replays, and it'll be on for the next several weeks, 9 p.m. on Tuesday nights. Dreams to Champions, we're going to check in with Brian Olatunji. But all of that is coming up after we hear from Adrienne Ritter from the NHRA when we return. Plus some feedback from you guys out there mixed into the show. So stick around right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio. WFO Radio would like to thank you, racing fans from around the world, for making WFO Radio the CompetitionPlus.com radio show of the year.
The world's heavyweight champion.
Wide, fast, open, WFO Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. Woo!
Redline Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Redline has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Redline motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found and Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
For less than the price of a magazine, you get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just got to pinch yourself.
Think how to make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio. Getting ready for the Winter Nationals. You can feel the cold thawing out there, especially if you live in Florida like I do, where it never got cold. But we're getting ready to go racing just a couple of weeks from now. We talked about it a little bit last week, and I wanted to follow up on the new format, National Dragster. It's very exciting, and you know this is a big move. So to talk about it a little bit more and a little bit more in depth, joining us right now, the NHRA Vice President of Publications, Adrian Ritter. Adrian, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
I am very excited to speak with you today because as a drag racing fan and NHRA member, National Dragster has been part of my life for as long as I can remember. I can only imagine the discussions that went on behind the scenes before undertaking this move.
Oh, they were very comprehensive and have kind of ruled my life for the last, heavily the last 6 months, but over the last year.
Well, let's get into it. But first, I always like to give a little background for first-time guests. How long have you been in this position working closely with National Dragster on the publication side of NHRA and, of course, your thoughts on drag racing?
Well, I've been with NHRA since 1992 and with National Dragster, and I started out as the business manager and eventually was promoted to the vice president of publications. That was around, I think, 2001 or 2002. I love NHRA. I love NHRA drag racing and National Dragster. I mean, all of our publications are my concern, but I definitely am most close with National Dragster.
And when you say other publications, just for our fans out there, you mean there's a fan guide. There's a lot that goes on.
Yeah, we do the programs, the fan guide, the rule books, and our publication for the junior members, Junior Dragster.
Now, I can imagine over the past 5 to 10 years, with websites coming online and just a lot of different directions to possibly go in, this has come up more than once, a transition to digital. I know you did that last year. It was kind of a bonus feature. But making this big plunge to turn National Dragster into a bi-weekly, basically a feature-based magazine, as opposed to the what I would say, and maybe I'm wrong, results-based magazine it was previously. I'm sure that's been brewing for a while.
It has. We've been gradually adding more features to the magazine over the years and moving a little bit away from just results-based because here at NHRA, the publications department was in the beginning the original producer of the content for the NHRA.com website. And we knew, you know, we've been following, and we knew how much the fans would go to the site, get the information, and how it was in some ways kind of making it the content we were putting in National Dragster appear to come late. But we also know we have a lot of members that are they love the print publication. In some parts of the country, they have difficulty getting online. They just are not as digitally connected as we are in California and probably in Florida. So it was a tough decision to make this transformation because we don't want to alienate any of our current members, but at the same time, we were not really attracting any new members or not to the level that we wanted.
Strong arguments to be made on both sides. Last week I gave an analogy, a story really, about being in the doctor's office and there for 2 hours, Adrian. It was terrible. And looking to entertain myself through my device, which I have an iPhone 4S, and wanting to catch up on news and everything. And you know, I didn't bring my National Dragster with me. But I think there is an example of how people are just taking their content with them through their devices nowadays. Tell me about the new Dragster. I know there's a special website that people can access. How is this going to be different from what we get right now or got up till recently?
Okay, well, so the two parts, you know, the digital availability of the publication and the companion website. The companion website, nationaldragster.net, actually is on a different platform than the NHRA.com website. And one of the nice things about it, it is set up so it conforms immediately to the type of device you're using. It knows if you're on a mobile device, and it will bring it into a more mobile-friendly version, so you can read it in the doctor's office or wherever you're at. And when you first go onto the site, you know, the homepage everyone can see, but the content within it, obviously, you have to log in as a member to get to the additional bits from the pits, the daily columns that the writers here are doing, and when we are during an event, the event coverage will be updated continually, you know, with a kind of behind-the-scenes information during the event. But now the digital magazine, that part, it's kind of, we have it set up in two ways. When you log into there, and you actually go to the digital magazine, you can get to it from the nationaldragster.net website, but it still locates on the NHRA.com website. And that, you can actually read it as a digital publication, or you can download it to your device as a PDF, which is really convenient. Say you're going on an airplane, then you actually have it on your device, and you aren't locked out when you have to turn off internet access.
Wow, that sounds like it's very convenient, especially for everybody that is within the industry traveling around as much as they do.
Yeah, yeah. And obviously we've tried to include it so that it links to external areas wherever they're available in the site. So if there's an advertiser you want to go to, you can click on their ad and it'll go to their site. Or other things, you know, if you have this might prove to be more of a problem no, long term, but it actually even picks up email addresses of people here in the company if they're mentioned in the article, so someone can write them an email pretty easily.
Immediately. Like if I got a problem with what Phil Burgess said, and I can fire off an email right there. I love it.
Yep.
And Reinhardt with those columns, you know, it's always
a crazy story.
Yeah.
You can tell Alan if you think he's going on and on too much about his car.
Oh, which one? That's the question. There's like a million of them. But this is a broader situation. We see it in our local newspapers and magazines that it's a struggle right now to keep a printed publication with the way things are going. And not that it's bad, it's just kind of a shift right now. I personally believe it's very important to keep printed versions. Number one, to satisfy those people you mentioned who maybe aren't able, even if they are willing to switch to some sort of device or digital or otherwise. But I just believe that a printed hard copy is important because it can sit on the shelf or sit around as a reference. Some a stranger who doesn't use your device, a friend at the house, can pick it up and flip through it and say, wow, look at these great photos. What is this sport? What is this you got here? Oh, that's drag racing. So you guys have gone out of your way to make sure that stays alive as well.
Yes. I mean, and I totally agree with you. I still subscribe to my print edition of my daily newspaper. I love to get magazines in print myself. And there is just an immediate way, it just feels like an immediate shareability to a print publication to walk over to someone in your house and say, look at this photo. Oh, I wish I had been there. Or I remember that, you know, when we're running some of the historic photos. But we had to have that balance of reaching the younger people, which really are desperately wanting the content to be digital. So we did not want to lose any opportunity between both mediums. But we do not foresee doing away with the digital edition, the print edition, because you're right, it is an important record of our sport.
What has the feedback been? And we're speaking with Adrian Ritter, NHRA Vice President of Publications, about the new National Dragster format, 25 issues biweekly. What has the feedback been so far? I can imagine with anything in drag racing, you've got some passionate diehards on both sides of the argument, but is it being embraced so far?
So far, I've got to say, most of the comments have been very positive. We have had a few people that I think just maybe didn't understand exactly what we were doing, and when they talk to our customer service people, they kind of walk them through the process and get them comfortable with the website and the digital edition. And there's some that are loving the fact that now the digital edition is available so early and they can see it and still get the print edition to the a few days later. So while we've had a couple people that are very much on a wait and see, you know, all right, I'm going to give it a chance. Most of the people have been very positive.
It is very exciting, and I can't help but think, and I'm sure your response is going to be, well, we just did this. But when you do something like this, make a move, it opens up so many different doors. And of course, my next thought is, how can you build on this new framework that you've created? I can imagine you're going to have your membership logging in, logging on. Once you get them used to this and understand, and to use a word, trained, so to speak, to receive their National Dragster this way, take it to the doctor's office, take it to wherever they are, bust out their phone and check it out. Suddenly I'm thinking about streaming of events or behind the scenes or who knows what great ideas lie down the road now that this step has been taken. Has there been any conversations about that, what this could potentially lead to?
Well, we definitely have had talks about what the future is going to be. We don't have any concrete plans right now to implement anything different than what we have so far. A lot of it is still kind of a learning process for us. The writers are have some experience with reporting behind the scenes because they've done it at some of the events. So this will be interesting to see at the Winter Nationals how it actually is carried out. But I don't know. We're just excited about the possibilities and don't really want to say one way or the other what we're going to do in the future here.
Well, I understand that, and I kind of figured, but it is definitely exciting, and the way technology is going, there are just a world of possibilities, and it will be very exciting to see how you guys tackle them and morph with this. It's going to be like a living, breathing document, so to speak. Adrian, I want to thank you for coming on the show and sharing the behind the scenes of what's going on at National Dragster. And believe it or not, this might seem shocking, but I'm pretty sure some of our listeners are not NHRA members and don't get National Dragster, as insane as that might be. If they aren't, where can they go to check this out and maybe become a member or a subscriber?
If they go to the NHRA.com website or to the NationalDragster.net website, there is a link to the NHRA store, and in there they can actually look at a sample issue of the digital edition and get a feel for what that looks like. And in the store, actually, buy their membership right through there. Mm-hmm. Or they can do it at the event or just calling the office here.
Very, very cool. And I always say this is the Bible of drag racing, and you've got to be on board if you really want to know what's going on inside the sport. Adrian, thank you so much. Now, before I let you go, of course, this is a racing show. We've got the Winter Nationals right around the corner, O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals. I know you are probably exhausted from working on this project, but the racing season is about to start. Tell me about the excitement level in the offices over there to start covering races.
Oh, it's, I don't know if you, have read Phil's column in the last edition, but, the guys here, they cannot wait for the racing to start. It, in some ways the off season seems, so short to get everything done, but it seems so long when you're waiting for the racing to start. And, the Winter Nationals is always especially exciting because we get to see all the new sponsors, and there's been a lot of change up in the teams over the off season. So this will be a very exciting Winter Nationals. And of course, the start of, Top Fuel Racing for the John Force team will be there too.
Very, very much so. We got a little taste of it a couple of weeks ago at a test, but nothing like the real deal out there in Pomona. Adrian, thank you so much for coming on the show, taking time out of your busy schedule, but I feel much better informed and excited about what we got going on with National Dragster. I believe my audience does as well. So thank you so much for taking the time on WFO Radio.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on.
Adrian Ritter with us here on WFO Radio, Vice President of Publications, and now you are up to speed with the new National Dragster. And I've been getting it on my phone now and checking it out, and it's very cool just to have the access is really what it is for me, the digital side. And I kind of walk in both worlds. Many people know I just turned 40, and so I really appreciate the print version to be able to carry it around to a friend and say, hey, look at this cool picture. It's awesome. And I really like being able to access from my phone from the doctor's office when I am super bored. So I think it is cool, but I also cannot help but think about the future applications once everybody has moved over and in a couple of years when everybody has been forced practically by law to get a new digital device where they can access the internet. Good things happen. And oh, by the way, the WFO Radio iPhone and Android application is a great way to hear this show on a weekly basis, especially the show, the clips, YouTube videos, everything we've got all in one application. It downloads very quickly and a great way to listen to the show. Don't believe me. Listen to our listeners. They love the app and have been writing some very positive reviews. And thank you so much for those, because those just elevate us in the App Store or Google Play. The positive reviews, I like the show, it's good, 15 stars, it really, really helps. All right, coming up on the show, we're going to get into it. We got a publisher, we got a driver, we got a photographer, we got a TV star, all coming up on the show. Steve Torrance going to be coming up, Capco Top Fuel Dragster driver, 3 wins, 5 final rounds in 2012. Can he improve in 2013? I think he can. Steve, a potential fan favorite, if he has a big year this year, he will definitely be on the scene in a big way. Also coming up on the show, Roger Richards. Roger shoots for CompetitionPlus.com. I said a couple of weeks ago, we had Gary Nastassi on the show, and some people have been asking me about different photographers. These guys are the way that many of us see the racing, through their eyes. Great shots, great photographs, what was going on. And so I invited Roger from CompetitionPlus.com to come on the show. Roger was very kind to take a couple of photographs of me at PBIR, which I, of course, updated and put out there. Well, what are some tips for you guys? I know a lot of you are amateur photographers and love to capture drag racing shots, and you're like, why can't I get that great shot? Well, Roger is going to come on the show, talk about how he got started, how he got into it, what he uses, and maybe even some pointers for you amateur photogs out there in the world of drag racing. And then on the show, we've been talking about it for 6 to 8 months now. The show Dreams to Champions with Brian O. Brian Olatunji, the debut is tonight. Go set your DVR right now. Do it right now. 9 p.m. Speed TV. I can tell you on DirecTV, it's channel 607. I don't know about Comcast, you Comcast folks. Are there other companies other than Comcast and DirecTV? I don't know of any. I just know those two. Whatever it is, Speed Channel, Speed TV, 9 p.m. There's actually back-to-back half-hour episodes. We've been hearing about the shooting and hearing about the making and the behind-the-scenes and actually hung out with Brian O. at the U.S. Nationals. Well, the show debuts tonight. They got a big party going on in the Rock City. And we're going to check in with Brian O. coming up on the show. He's going to represent the world of drag racing. There's roundy-round racing, stock car racing is represented, and drifting is represented, and Brian O. representing drag racing. You can even vote, I believe, for your favorite form, favorite driver, and we'll give you all that information coming up a little bit later on in the show. But when we return, Steve Torrence. We're going to find out from Steve about his 2012 and his thoughts on 2013. Plus, we've got some listener feedback I want to get into. All that and more coming up right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
I am the greatest.
WFO Radio is the CompetitionPlus.com Radio Show of the Year.
It's all over. Three straight championships.
Hey, Joe, this is Corey Mihalik of Mihalik Brothers Racing. Kyle and I wanted to call and congratulate you and your team on winning your third consecutive CompetitionPlus.com Internet Radio Show of the Year award. No one deserves it more than you guys.
Craig from Seattle, WFO Radio. Three-peat.
WFO, Joe. This is Bobby from the Bayou. Hey, winning one time, that just shows the newness and the freshness of the show. Second time, maybe a little bit of the same thing, but the third time to win it is just strictly WFO.
Back to back to back.
Float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. Ah, rumble, young man, rumble.
The one, the only, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
The greatest of all time, of all time.
Hey, this is Carlos, WFO Radio producer. When you're done watching all the great videos, which I made, on the WFO Radio TV YouTube channel, head over to the WFOradio.com store for some really hot WFO Radio gear. Like the WFO Radio hat, which is now only $15. WFO New Era hats are on sale. Get a hat for your dad, get a hat for your head, or a sticker kit for your truck. WFO Radio gear is on sale at WFOradio.com. Get some.
Hey, this is Joe Costello, and we'll be back to the show in a second. But first, I want to tell you about CompetitionPlus.com. There's a reason CompetitionPlus.com is the leader among drag racing electronic magazines. Their trained staff is always on alert and always asking the tough questions. The end result is hard-hitting drag racing journalism with up-to-the-minute reporting. For over a decade, CompetitionPlus.com has been a pioneer as drag racing's go-to source for the latest in news, race coverage, and high-quality photography. Their trained staff thrives on getting the inside stories, and their columnists study their topics before they hit their first keystroke. When it comes to covering the races, they leave you feeling as if you've actually been to the race. CompetitionPlus.com is an honest-to-goodness, free drag racing magazine published by the most passionate of drag racing fans, who just happen to be journalists. Don't wonder what's going on in the drag racing world. Be in the know daily. Log on to CompetitionPlus.com.
Now back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro, back again, and we are just a couple of weeks out, just days out, in fact, from the 53rd O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals, the first race of the 2013 Mellow Yellow drag racing season, and we've got a lot of ground to cover. We had the Super Bowl this past weekend, which means it's time to go racing in my book. And joining us now, last year, a breakout star sensation, 3 wins, 5 final rounds, 2 number 1 qualifiers, finished 9th in the points, and I think we've got better coming from him. Joining us now, Steve Torrence. Steve, welcome back to WFO Radio. How are you?
I'm good. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. And what's going on over at Torrence Racing? How are you preparing for this first national event just days away?
Well, like you said, football's over with. Super Bowl was yesterday. The Ravens fortunately got that win. And, I'm here in Texas. I was checking on my guys there at the shop earlier this morning, and things are going good. We're trying to get everything ready. We're going to try to take a couple days off before we start this season. And we're pretty excited, you know. We went down to Florida to West Palm and did some testing, and you know, we're pretty pumped up about this year for Torrance Racing.
I think so, too. So real quick, you were pulling for the Ravens, as was I. What did you think of the game, the power failure, that whole deal? Those guys forced to try to keep their competitive edge.
Yeah, the, you know, it's that's just one of those deals. It's just a you know, good Lord had a little hand in that, and lights go out. It definitely changed the game in my perspective of, and you know, gave a little bit of life to the 49ers, but, you know, heck, at the end of the day, the Ravens won.
Absolutely, and I always love to ask questions about the mind of the competitor. I'm sure at some point in your life, maybe a great example that I'm just not bringing up, you've been shut off on the starting line and been forced to think about the round ahead of you for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes for a rain shower, something where you were preparing to go down the track and had to keep your edge.
Oh, definitely. You know what I mean? Actually, that's happened quite a bit, and no one time in particular stands out in my mind. But, you know, when you're in that situation and you're sitting there and you're mentally prepared and psyched up for what you're about to do, and then you get put on hold, it's just, it's very trying and emotionally draining, because you're sitting there at the peak of your alertness and just ready to go for a lot longer amount of time than what you'd anticipated at all. And it definitely takes a toll on you. So I know those guys were sitting there for 33, 34 minutes just on edge waiting to see what was happening and running all these scenarios through their head of, you know, we're losing our momentum, we're losing time here and dragging this out. So I'm glad it was those guys and not me.
Absolutely, and I think the game did turn out the way it should have. It would have been kind of a weird situation had the Niners come back and won, because the momentum was definitely broken, and it just changed the game. All right, moving on to drag racing. Steve, last year, your first year with your own team the way you wanted it, basically setting it up in the Torrance fashion, you come out of the box, 3 wins, 5 final rounds. We gave the stats. Maybe stumbled in the countdown a little bit, but that was a learning experience that I think we'll get to. Given your first season with this team, I feel like you should be pretty happy. Now, having digested the offseason and prepped for round two here in 2013, how are you feeling?
You know, I'm really excited. I definitely am more confident going into this season than last year. We've got, you know, we got some wins under our belt. We got some final rounds under our belt. And, you know, we've just got the experience coming into this year that we lacked last year. We have a better outlook, a better way to prepare. And like you said, we stumped our toe there in the countdown. And, you know, it didn't, our points positioning where we finished at the end of the year really doesn't show how well we ran at the first of the year, in the middle of the year. And that's the bad thing about the countdown. You know, I mean, it really doesn't matter how you run the first 17 races as long as you're in the top 10. And then the rest of the time you can, I mean, you got 6 races and all you have to do is perform well there. So it's a little different. We'll have a different strategy this year going into that, and we'll be more prepared.
Was there something you could have foreseen, or is it as simple as you don't know what you don't know and have to gain the experience of going through the countdown system and losing, as most would do their first time through it, to understand what it takes?
Well, you know, we could have prepared a little bit better. I mean, running these fuel cars, you have a clutch pack, a clutch setup that you use, and it consists of something that's very consistent every time. And when you get out of that comfort zone, or you run out of one particular disc in that whole pack there, that's not exactly the same as the other ones, it completely changes the tune up and how you adjust to that really, you know, plays a key factor there. We tried everything that we could for basically 2 races before the countdown started, and didn't get the car back on track until the last 2 races of the year. So, you know, the testing policy that was in play, I mean, it worked against us there in that situation, but it also helped us, you know, in some other situations. So we're going to just kind of be a little more prepared this year and approach it differently. we'll have some stuff set aside that, we know that we're going to be able to go back to and use our old tune-in data for in the countdown.
Makes sense, and a strategy I've heard referred to in the past. Again, no substitute for experience, and you can't get it unless you're out there in what was a very strong year. Now, what about during the offseason? Any additions to your team, and what have you done in your mind that will improve your performance?
Well, you know, we've upgraded a little bit of our stuff. You know, starting last year, we had all brand new things. Some of that stuff gets wore out, so we've been back and kind of updated our inventory. Made the transition from the old Allen Johnson heads to the new ones, and they're showing some good promise. You know, we ran those down there at West Palm, and you know, just didn't throw up any big numbers during testing, but we definitely saw some differences in things that we were trying. And what we did is we went down there and tried to apples to apples see what we tried and how much difference it made, and found quite a few things that we'd wanted to try last year that we never had the opportunity to, and just trying to improve our program. So going to that test session really helped us. We spent a few days down there, and it's hopefully it pays off pretty big here at the first of the year.
Coming out of the box just a couple of days from now, as the only single car team to make the countdown, I think it speaks volumes for you, your guys, Richard Hogan, but at the same time also shows how you defied the odds of being able to get there as a single car team, given the fact that these super teams are able to just gather so much more data with three runs, say, from three different cars set up kind of similarly compared to your one. How do you plan to combat that? Can you combat that? Is it a strategy thing? Is it maybe information sharing with another team? And are you going to be able to do it in back-to-back years?
You know, I mean, I don't know if you ever do just go combat that. You know, we've been able to beat those guys in some of the, I mean, that's just part of the deal. You know, we're a single car team. Those are two and three car teams, and they do have a benefit, but I mean, we do what we do. We work around it. You know, we've outrun two or three AJ cars, or two AJ cars, or two or three Schumacher cars in the same day. So, you know, you definitely know that it can be done. It's difficult. Those guys get a lot of data every lap down the track, and there's good drivers over there and good crew guys and good crew chiefs working on them. So it definitely makes it even that more difficult to do, but it can be done. It just takes a lot of hard work and dedication from my guys, and just staying there working late and getting up early, working hard all day. So, I mean, we can do it. It definitely takes a little more energy and a little more dedication out of us to get it done as a one-car team. We don't have any alliances out there. You know, it's difficult. You try to make an alliance with somebody, and they don't absolutely... I mean, nobody wants to get outrun by a car that's not on their team. So, you know, what good does it help if they're taking you out, you know?
Sure. Steve Torrence with us here on WFO Radio. Steve, getting ready for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals coming up just a couple of weeks from now. Steve, I have this opinion that drag racing fans are really looking for more personalities to root for, new stars coming on the scene, as some of the other guys who have been out there for a long time have pretty much coalesced their fan bases. New fans want new people to root for, but that really takes success. People don't really like to root for the guy who goes out first round every week because they don't get anybody to root for. They want to see somebody win. I think you have a really good opportunity. This is something we spoke about last year as well. You went out, you won three races. So now you're on the map. People are like, hey, that Torrence guy, I like his attitude. I like the grit of his team, single car team. What would really bring the fans to you is to go out and have another strong year. Do you think about that in terms of course you're trying to win races, but maybe some of the off-track promotions you do, reaching out to fans, cultivating your personality as a driver to give those new fans or fans who are looking for a new younger driver or driver to jump on with in case their guy gets knocked out, to give them basically Steve Torrence as an option. Hey, root for me.
Yeah. You know, and this year really has stepped up the amount of fans that we've got as a team and myself as a driver, but I've got some of the best fans. I mean, and you hear everybody say that, you know, I got the best fans, but I mean, I've got guys that come up to me and man, we've been watching you since the alcohol days. We're glad to see you here. And, you know, and like you said, people want to root for the underdog. People want to root for somebody that's out there just struggling and trying everything they can to do good. And they're proud for us when we have success. I mean, those fans are with us through thick and thin when we go, you know, two rounds in the last six or eight races. And then, you know, at the first of the year when we're going out there and going to the finals. So, you know, we've got some really good support, a lot of good fans, and you know, what we're trying to do is just establish ourselves as just a professional, top-notch team that's out there to race and have fun. I mean, we're not out there for any other reason. I mean, this is what we love to do. We're out there to take pictures at the end of the day and win trophies. Everybody wants to go home with the Wally, and that's what we're all racing for.
Steve Torrence with us here on WFO. Now, Steve, again, we're just days out, February 14th, Winter Nationals. What's going on at the shop right now? Is it last-minute add-ons? Is it just dotting I's and crossing T's and getting everything prepared? When do the trucks roll out? How close are you to being ready?
We're very, very close. You know, right now we're dotting the I's and crossing the T's, just getting the last-minute things wrapped up. A little bit of vinyl decal work and stuff done on the cars and on the trailers. But, you know, right now my guys are very well prepared. They've worked very hard all off season. I've been off kind of playing around, going on some little endeavors. But I'm proud of those guys. They work hard. They've got everything ready to go. I think when we show up at Pomona, we're going to come out guns blazing and, you know, ready to go.
Well, it's going to be very fun. The first race of the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series Tour, kind of a seed change. I've said it a lot on the show, but I've drank more Mellow Yellow in the past 3 months than I think I have in my whole life.
You know, I don't think I'd ever drink a Mellow Yellow in my life until last year. But definitely goes back to the days of Thunder, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is. Steve, thanks for taking the time with us here on the show. I know you joined us several times last year with those three wins and a couple of great runs. I hope to speak with you more this year, and thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Look forward to talking to you guys soon.
All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Joe.
Steve Torrence with us here on WFO Radio, and I think he's going to have a big year. How big? Who knows? Can a single-car team keep up with the multi-car teams? Who knows? There's so much going on. Now with the return of Spencer Massey as well, the class just got even tougher, even tougher. We've been getting a lot of feedback here on the show, a lot of feedback. You can send me an email, joe@wforadio.com. You can get right on the website. You can also tweet at me, WFO Joe. That's me. Follow me on Twitter. And oh, yes, I will be in Pomona next week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So be sure to say hello or tweet at me or follow me, and I'll let you know where I'm going to be. We got to hang out. That's what I want to get going this year. I want to get big with the social media and meet as many WFO radio listeners as possible out there. But we have gotten a lot of feedback over the past couple of weeks. Here is an example from Veronica, the Drag Race Angel, a surprise for Joe. Hey, Joe, I hope you like the surprise. It's one of many designs that I'll be sharing with you and the WFO radio fans every Tuesday after each race during the 2013 Mellow Yellow Drag Racing season. Please share it on your Facebook page and the WFO radio website. And what is it, you may wonder? It is a great piece of artwork, congratulating us for winning three consecutive CompetitionPlus.com Show of the Years. And there is my mug and a picture of the champs and the WFO radio logo, and I love it. She goes on to talk about that she is running the Buckeye Nitro Fanatics group page on Facebook, doing some other things, and she says, keep up the wickedly awesome job. Joe, WFO rocks, and thank you so much, Veronica. I appreciate it. Absolutely huge. And yes, I will share your artwork on WFO Radio's Facebook page. And if you guys have got something out there, look, here's where we're at. There are a lot of NHRA fans out there. There's over 400,000 of them that like NHRA on Facebook, and that's not even everybody who's an NHRA fan. Not all of them know about WFO Radio. So if you can spread the word, or to use John Force's term, preach the gospel of WFO Radio, we would certainly appreciate it. That iPhone and Android app doing real well in the App Store and on Google Play. But positive reviews elevate it so more people can see it. And all of that is very helpful. We will share some more feedback coming up later on in the show. When we return, we're going to check in with a photographer himself, Roger Richards, going to give us a little tip, some pointers, in fact, how to make our own photography a little bit better. Plus, how did he get into this whole deal working with Competition Plus? He has seen it all. We'll also speak with Brian Olatunji a little bit later on in the show, the debut of his TV show, Dreams to Champions, tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Set your DVRs. Break out your phone, program your DVR, get ready to rock and roll. Brian O on TV. There's a drifter, there's a NASCAR guy, and there's a drag racer. Who do you think we're rooting for? And you can even vote at the website. Brian O coming up a little bit later. Stick around when we return. Roger Richards right here on WFO Radio.
This is WFO Radio.
Red Line Synthetic Oil has been building the world's finest motor oil, gear oil, and additives, like our popular water wetter, for over 30 years. Think we're just for racers? Think again. Red Line has the multi-grade viscosity available for your domestic, European, or Japanese vehicle. From 0W20 to 5W30, even 10W60, Red Line motor oils are specifically designed to exceed the factory's demands, giving you longer drain intervals at lower oil temperatures. Is your off-the-shelf motor oil missing the zinc you need to protect your camshaft? Every bottle of Redline motor oil has more than enough zinc to suit your engine's needs. The same ester-based stocks found in Redline motor oil are also in our gear oils for manual transmissions and differentials. Known around the globe as the best in protection, regardless of price. Check us out at redlineoil.com to find a dealer or even buy online. Racing technology engineered for the street. That's Redline Oil.
NHRA fans, you love hearing from your favorite drivers. Hot Rod Fuller, welcome back, Rod. How you doing?
I'm doing great, especially being on the WFO.
Go to the App Store right now and download the WFO Radio iPhone application.
Oh, it's huge. We're back in it. That's all I can say. I'm just so excited.
Driver interviews, drag racing news, and much more. Go to the App Store and search WFO Radio to download the application.
It ain't just wide open. It's WFO.
Fast Jack Beckman. Jack, welcome back to WFO Radio.
God, do I love talking to you, Joe.
It's synonymous with victory, right?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, three times this year. And like we were just chatting, I love coming on your show because it gives me an opportunity to kind of step away from the race car for a little bit, talk a little less formally, and maybe bond a little bit more with some of the fans on a personal level where they can feel a little bit more attached to our team and to our sport in general.
The reason that we started the show, because drag racers need that opportunity. NASCAR guys have it everywhere, and that's why they've been able to grow, is because the fans feel so connected, because they get more than a 2-minute soundbite. And to hear you say that makes me feel great about just the whole process we've been through the past 3 years.
Mission accomplished, and don't ever stop, Joe. Thanks again, buddy.
The stars of drag racing, WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
It's great to be on your show, Max. Every time I'm on your show, brother, I know on WFO, I know we did something good.
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Moving through another edition of NHRA Nitro here on WFO Radio, and I feel like our off-season programming has been just super stellar. Fantastic, in fact, getting you behind the scenes with the sport. But I am also excited to have the Winter Nationals just days away. The O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals, the 14th through 17th of November. Can you believe it's here? But tonight on the show, we've heard from a driver. We've heard from a publisher. How about a photographer? I've been mentioning for the past couple of weeks that we're going to do more photographer interviews on the show because I know that they see the sport in a way that enables us to see the sport through their eyes. And so joining us now, you see a lot of his great work on CompetitionPlus.com. You know him from the trademark handlebar mustache. Joining us now, Roger Richards. Roger, welcome to WFO Radio. How are you?
Just wonderful. Thanks for having me on. It's quite an honor.
Well, I don't know about that. I recognized some talent in you down at PBIR when you were able to somehow make me look reasonable through the lens, and so I figured this guy's a real pro. We got to have him on.
Well, that was a challenge, but we worked through it.
Thank you very much for that, by the way. Excellent work.
You're quite welcome.
You're a miracle worker, my friend. Now, Roger, first of all, for the audience that sees your photographs but doesn't know the man behind the scenes, how long have you been doing this? You've been on the show before, but let's reset on it. How long you've been covering drag racing? How long have you been a photographer?
Well, as a photographer, Thomas Edison and I invented the camera. Actually, I started when I was in the military. I wanted to document. I was in Japan for most of my military career, and I wanted to cover what I was seeing there. And so I started doing that, and then everybody wanted my pictures. We would go take pictures, and we'd take the same thing, but then they wanted copies of mine, and I had no idea why. But got involved in it there. Then I took a few lessons here and there, and then got into wedding photography and did that for several years. And then in 1999, drag racing at that point did not enter into my life. I'd seen it on TV, but Bobby Bennett was just starting Competition Plus, and invited me to go with him to the IHRA Fall Nationals in Rockingham. And I went to that, and that was the first drag race that I'd ever attended in the fall of 1999. And kind of got involved in that. And over the next 3 or 4 years, I transitioned from weddings and portraits. I've done over 3,000 weddings in my life, but I never saw a bride do a burnout down the aisle and burst into flames at the altar.
I can imagine that doing the wedding photography might be more stressful, though, than drag racing.
Well, it is in a way, but I dealt with the families for months and months. Sometimes as many as 2 years I would get booked in advance. And so I worked with the families, so I knew them and I knew what they wanted. And we worked together in getting them their portraits and everything. So in that respect, it wasn't that stressful so much, but I guess the most stressful thing about it in doing 3,000 weddings is that included 6,000 mother-in-laws.
I love it. Roger's got the material here, folks. A-list stuff, and that's why he's on the show. Now, from the artist's perspective, Roger, from what I can tell, you're a bit of a prodigy. People to self-taught, self-trained, just naturally good at their chosen art or job, whatever it is. Those are few and far between, and yet you can see one right away. And anyone who has seen your photography can tell that you're excellent at what you do. I also notice, though, you tend to try very much to blend kind of nature with the raw energy of drag racing. There's always a sunset shot, or whenever you see something that is part of the natural world, while you're at the drag race, you seem to try to capture that. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it isn't anything intentional. I go out to the drag race, and I see something that just strikes me as nice. And I take a picture of it and try to do it and portray it in such a way that you can see what I see. Whether it's a bug on the retaining wall at the track, a nice sunset, or as you mentioned, or just anything. If I see something that looks nice, I shoot it with a camera. And hopefully I can get you to see what I see. And I take a great amount of pleasure in taking a picture that someone likes. It's kind of like one of your own kids, you know. You love it.
The galleries on Competition Plus are a huge part of the website. I know Bobby's back there striking the keyboard right now. But the photographs are a huge part of it, and you take a lot of them. Tell me about an average weekend at an NHRA national event. How many photos are you shooting and uploading?
Well, it was like a huge pay raise for me when I went from film cameras to digital. I probably shot less than 200 pictures with film at a drag race. We were just getting into digital when I started. and it was like a 300% pay raise. I didn't have any more film or processing or printing cost involved, so it was like a 300% pay raise. And so, and since digital, the only expense you have is essentially the equipment to do it with, and so it's very easy to take hundreds or thousands of images just so you can cover everything. If I was still doing film, I'd do maybe 300-400 images per week. But as it is, I do 1,000 to 2,000 a day at a national event because I'm there from before sunrise till usually midnight to 1 o'clock every day. So that's a long day, and you can cover a lot, and there's a lot to be shot. There's, what, 500 or 600 teams, and each team has how many people, and you want to shoot every one of them. You want to see what they're doing and what kind of action they do. And so it isn't always going down the track itself. It's 90% of a drag race is outside of the track itself, in my opinion. You have fans, you have the spectators, you have the team members, you have all the vendors. I like to take pictures of the food that they prepare. Some of it is just gorgeous, and it smells great, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now you're talking to my heart. People would think I'm a large person just by the way I talk, but yes, the food vendors deserve their moment in the sun. Roger Richards from CompetitionPlus.com with us here on WFO Radio, well-known photographer in drag racing. Roger, for the amateur out there, the guy who's going to the race and got his camera in the stands, is there a tip, a secret, anything that you can give them to maybe make their experience a little bit better? I remember as a small child bringing my 35-millimeter camera there and trying to pan and catch cars. And I got some good shots, like once every 10 or 15. Again, I was using film, so it was rough. But it was a big part of it. A lot of people go to the races to try their hand at catching one of these great Nightwing shots or a great shot of something happening on track.
Two things, really. One would be equipment, and the other one would be just study. Every camera that you buy comes with some directions. Learn that camera. Know what that camera can do. And know it so well that you can make an adjustment without hardly even looking at the camera. Knowing how light affects this or light affects that so that you can make the proper adjustment. Learn that camera. Study what photography will do. You can't just pick up a great camera and go out and take great pictures. You have to know what you're doing. You can't drive a great race car until you practice. You've got to get good results. You've got to practice, shoot a lot, and understand what that camera did in order to get that great picture. I see a lot of people that take a great picture and have no idea. They can never duplicate it. They have no idea what the camera did. You've got to study that thing in order to be able to duplicate it. And the second thing is get some good glass to go on your camera. A lot of folks will spend a good bit of money to get a nice camera body, and then they will cheap out on a piece of crap, if I may say that, lens. They'll buy a lens. I got this great 70 to 300 lens. I got it for only $150. Well, you're going to get cheap pictures. You got to have a good piece of glass in order to get real sharp, positive pictures.
And what do you shoot with, Roger, if we're going to talk tech? I'm not knowledgeable about this, but I know the amateur photogs out there are. They want to know what the pros are using.
Well, not because it's any better than any other brand. I shoot Nikon just because that's what I happen to start with. And the reason that I stay with it is because, as we go back to the word glass again, the lenses are the more expensive part of a camera system. You can get quite a bit of money in the body and put a cheap lens on the front of it and take sorry pictures. So you have to buy that good lens, a good piece of glass on the front of it, and that's the really horrific expense in photography is the lens. And I stay with Nikon because all my money is tied up into that. You see me at the track carrying around a couple of bodies and one lens that almost drags the ground. That's a car I'm dragging around. I could have bought a car for that lens. But if I do it properly, sometimes it gives me some, it amazes me some of the things that those lenses can do that I personally don't have much to do with other than point and shoot. It's a lens that does it for a lot of it. And you don't want to cheap out on that. That's the two things that I would say. Learn that camera and get you some good lenses.
Very good, and there's just so much to shoot out there at the track, just exciting things, and I really do like and appreciate. There are so many different photographers out there, but it seems like each one has their own angle and perspective, and you can see that through the photographs, what they highlight, what they focus on, what is intriguing to each individual, and I think that's kind of what makes it cool.
It is, and a lot of them, photographers will go out and approach the race at a different thing. Since I'm shooting for Competition Plus, and I'm trying to cover the race, not just have a couple, there'll be several of the photographers that just have two or three clients that they shoot for, and they'll cover them, and they'll ignore the rest of the race. That's the reason I'm there early in the morning to late at night. I'm trying to cover the event, not just some clients. I look at every single team out there and every person that shows up as my client. I'm trying to cover every one of them that comes through the gate as a team member. I'm trying to cover that for the people that don't get to go drag racing. They're fans, but they don't get to go. That's one of the reasons that I consider myself probably one of the luckiest people in the country, or the world for that matter, is I get to do what I'm doing, and somebody every once in a while will throw a piece of money at me, but I get to do this, and I enjoy it.
And I think that is every person's dream, and that's why everybody I talk to at the racetrack, when I say, hey, how you doing? They say, living the dream. Living the dream, because they actually are. Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show. Before I let you go, though, I do want to ask you about two final things. One, what's got you excited about 2013? What can't you wait to get out to Pomona and shoot, or the first race you're going to cover? What can you not wait for to pop the trigger on that camera of yours?
Well, the first thing that I do when I get to the first event of the year, and it really has nothing to do with the camera, I go out and smell the racetrack. You might see me out there with my nose stuck to the track. I'm smelling VHT, and I'm smelling nitro. That cranks me up. I know what to kind of expect as far as the cars and this, that, and the other. There's several new teams this year, and that's all interesting, but it's just the people. I got to go out there and be with my friends. I probably have more friends now than I would have ever imagined. Thousands and thousands around the world.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, with a trademark such as yourself, you're very well known. The mustache. Everybody knows it.
Well, if I did that, shaved the mustache and turned my hat around like a normal person, and nobody would know me until possibly I spoke or picked up a camera. But you're right. I thought about shaving the mustache or making a different style, and there's a couple people come up to me. Oh, no. That's about fine.
Don't do it. And part two, and I think this is a very interesting behind-the-scenes thing for the listeners out there, you are a rolling television commercial for the Chevrolet Astro van. Tell me about the van. How many miles are on the van? All I know is that when I show up to the track, the van is there. When I leave the track, the van is still there. It's everywhere. It's in West Palm. It's in Indy. It's all over the country. Tell me about the van. How is this thing still going?
Well, it's like all my camera equipment. You know it. When it makes a funny sound, you fix it. And so this is the second one that I've had, actually the third Astro that I had. The first one that I had was pretty much on its last legs when I started shooting drag racing. That was went with me for years, the weddings. And then I got a second one, and it got had a motor issue at close to a $500,000. And this one that I have right now, I like to say it in this term right here, it's approaching 0.4 million miles. That sounds better than 350,000.
Yes, yeah, I like it too.
It's getting close to 0.4 million right now. It has not had any issues with the motor, knock on a lot of wood. The I replaced about everything else on it, a piece at a time. But if you stay in tune with what the thing is doing, it smells, it's the way it feels and the way it just acts, you can head off a lot of issues ahead of time. But this one, I call him Little Rock. And that's after every one of my vans, I tend to nickname. The one before this one was a white one, just a white generic van. He got no respect, so I called him Rodney, after Rodney Dangerfield. So that was Rodney. This one, I called Little Rock, because the first trip I took after I got this particular van was to Indy, and I stopped at John Force's complex, went into the room they've got set up as memorial to Medlin. And as soon as I walked in, I looked on the right-hand wall, and there was a big picture of Eric on his favorite horse, because, you know, he was big into the rodeo on his off from the track. And that horse was named Little Rock. Excuse me. And I asked the family if I could name my van after Little Rock. Each one of my vans have got to earn their name, and this was the first trip. And I thought that would be a pretty good tribute to Eric Medlin, to name my van Little Rock. So Eric goes with me everywhere.
Very cool. Very nice. And a nice tribute. Everything, there's a meaning behind so many different things when you go to the drag strip. Roger, I want to thank you for coming on the show here on WFO Radio. I appreciate your work, checking it out, the galleries on Competition Plus. I'm looking forward to being out there in Pomona and seeing the start of the 2013 Mellow Yellow season. But thank you so much for taking some time for our audience, maybe giving them a pointer or two, and just so much to shoot out at the track, giving them a little insight into how you got here is much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
There he goes, Roger Richards, with us here on WFO Radio, and I feel smarter about photography already. And the guy is great, very happy, took some quick shots of me at the tower at PBIR, and very thankful for that. And there's a lot to be learned out there from a guy like Roger. And just perusing the galleries on competitionplus.com, you see a lot of great stuff. I follow him on Facebook as well. And every once in a while, you'll see me share one of his photographs. Beautiful skylines and sunsets, and it all comes back to drag racing. If he sees, like he said, a bug on the wall, he'll capture it. And very, very cool. Thanks to Roger for coming on the show. Now, we've got Brian O coming up, the big debut of Dreams to Champions. But first, some more feedback here on WFO Radio. This is an email coming in from Brian. And if you want to send one, got a thought about the show, a comment, not necessarily a question for Alan, but if you've got something you want to bring up, by all means, send it over. Thoughts, opinions, otherwise, you can call them in, 954-889-6796, or you can email them. Here's one. New fantasy game. Hi, Joe. I'm Brian from St. Louis, Missouri. I've been listening to your shows for a few years and appreciate someone who knows the sport and the drivers instead of the typical radio host who knows zilch about racing and attempts to ask questions prepared by an assistant. Oh, boy, don't I hate that as well. I need to get an assistant to prepare my questions, but we're working towards that. He goes on to say, there may be a few other fans with limited vision, but I don't know of any other significantly impaired or blind fans that attend the NHRA races. And John, Larry, Corey, and a few other drivers remember me every year. I was able to spend time with Jay Blake and Todd Vinny 2 years ago in Joliet, and the highlight of my 25 years of attending NHRA events was time and pictures granted by Lori, Ashley, and Courtney Force at Gateway last year. I'll probably never be hired to spin a wrench, but enjoy computer programming and website design, and wanted you to know about my fantasy drag racing site, and hope it's worthy of mentioning during your Tuesday shows. Yes, it is. I'm mentioning it right now. The site is found, he says, at fantasydragracingleague.com. That's fantasydragracingleague.com, and can actually pay the winners instead of just a T-shirt. It's not very fancy visually, as I just worked out the last few glitches this past weekend and plan to add pictures and audio and YouTube videos in the future. Thanks, says Brian. Brian, very cool. Vision impaired drag racing fan. Let me tell you, I don't know what it would be like to be vision impaired. I bet for me personally, it would be rough. But if I was going to go to any motorsport and feel like I was getting it, drag racing would be the one. Definitely. Because there are so many other senses at work at a drag race. And I have checked out the fantasydragracingleague.com, and it looks interesting. You get a certain amount of money to start the race weekend. You have to draft drivers based on their salary. You can't go over the salary cap. It is a format that has been used in some other series. I think it's pretty interesting. Maybe some of our listeners will check it out. FantasyDragRacingLeague.com. I am already at my fantasy quota with the WFO Radio Yahoo NASCAR Fantasy Leagues, which is just a very stressful endeavor. We've got people who want to play fantasy at WFOradio.com. You got to send an email because you must be a listener. That is our rule for this year. But Rich York, the champion, the three-time champ, is already talking major smack. So it is very, very rough. I don't know what I'm going to do about it, but I'm going to do something. I got to focus all my energy this year into the WFO Radio Fantasy NASCAR League. But very cool, Brian. Thank you so much for emailing in. And yes, folks, check it out. It's an interesting fantasy drag racing league, and you can find it at fantasydragracingleague.com. When we come back, Brian Olatunji, the debut. He's been on the show many times. You can go back in the archive from the infancy stages. Before it was actually happening. Now it's going to debut on Speed Channel tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to catch up with Brian O. when we return.
This is WFO Radio. WFO Radio is 300 miles per hour of fire-burning nitromethane thunder.
If you want to be called the champ, you got to beat me, because we fight for championships. We don't give them away.
WFOradio.com. Android. WFO Radio is now available on Android.
You know, I get goosebumps just thinking of what you're saying.
For less than the price of a magazine, you get the same award-winning motorsports entertainment that iPhone users have downloaded over 25,000 times.
You know, sometimes you just gotta pinch yourself.
They couldn't make this happen.
Ignition. NHRA Nitro. NASCAR coverage. Videos. Push notifications. The WFO Radio NASCAR Tailgate Party Pick Show and more.
It's a whole different game.
The WFO Radio app is a must for any racing fan. The ultimate racing show. Sports radio for racing fans. It's in your pocket right now.
I'm going to scream.
Search WFO Radio and download it now.
I like it. It's exciting for me, and I know it's exciting for the fans.
Download it now. Get fired up on the WFO line.
WFO, Joe.
954-889-6796.
It's just been an absolute joy to be a drag racing fan.
Go wide open, and your call may be used on the show.
Or preface by saying I'm not a Kurt Busch fan or apologist. I don't know where Greg Anderson's ego is gone, but I know one person that's going to be a big-time villain in pro stock.
That's 954-889-6796. That phone line is always WFO. Back to back to back. Radio show of the year. WFO Radio. NHRA Nitro.
WFO, Joe. This is Steve Trucker checking in from out here on the road. I'm just calling to send my congratulations on winning the CompetitionPlus.com Internet Radio Show of the Year for the third year in a row. I listen to your show on my iPhone via the app. I think I may have heard you say a couple of times that it's now available for all you Android users.
Go to the App Store or Android Market. Search WFO Radio and download it now.
So once again, keep up the good work, and we'll see you in the Fantasy League. WFO!
Now, back to WFO Radio, NHRA Nitro.
Three, that's a magic number.
Three.
It is. It's the magic number.
Three.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community.
And finally tonight on NHRA Nitro, we've been tracking this story for quite some time, and finally, the time has come. Joining us now to talk about the debut of Dreams to Champions tonight on Speed TV, 9 p.m. East Coast time, back-to-back episodes, Brian Olatunji back with us. Brian O., welcome back.
Joe C., what's happening, man? Hey, it's finally showtime, baby.
You have got to be very excited right now, thinking about, I can only imagine what I would be doing just with my own friend list. We'd be having a party. We'd be ready to rock and roll if I had some sort of TV show about me about to go. Dreams to Champions tonight. How excited are you?
Oh, man, I'm elated. You know, we do actually have a screening this evening. It's going to be at the Detroit Seafood Market, which is located downtown. If any of our listeners are in the Metro Detroit area, come on out. We're going to be there at 8:30 tonight, and we're going to shut it down. But no, I'm beyond excited, man. It's fantastic. How often do you get a shot to have a nationwide television show that's been chronicling your passion and your love for what it is that you've been doing and you hope to do for the next 30-plus years?
Well, what is great is we usually try to keep our runtime under 2 hours, and so I would imagine our listeners are going to be hearing this interview within just a few minutes of the show airing, able to run to their television set, flip on speed, and at very least hit record on the DVR, and at very most sit down and watch back-to-back episodes. We've talked about this several times over the past couple of months, dating back to the U.S. Nationals a little bit prior, even last year. Watched you and heard the stories through the entire process. It's been grueling. It's been grueling for you, Brian. You got rained out. You blew stuff up. Oh, my goodness.
It's a hard knock life, man, but you know what? There's always a silver lining in that cloud, and we're just hoping, man, that this is going to be a platform to take us to that next echelon. And the beauty of it is this. For all of the listeners, the WFO Nation, NHRA Nation, I want you guys to know, man, you're all taking that same ride with me. So one day when I strap into a Nitro car, you'll be able to say, man, I remember that cat when he couldn't even get a doggone break to get down the racetrack, much less the rain and all the other things that have taken place. But you'll get a chance to see it during the show.
Which is very cool, and I've got promo trailer up on our WFO Radio Facebook page, but also want to encourage the audience. I guess this is new, but there are three people that are featured. Yourself, of course, representing drag racing. Juan Carlos Blum representing, I would call it stock car or the road to NASCAR, so to speak. And Jonathan Castro, who is a drifter. And I didn't realize, Brian, that there was going to be a vote. The audience has to vote. You know, we love voting for things on WFO Radio.
I already know. And you know what? As the three-time, holla at me, the three-time radio show of the year, internet radio show of the year, there's no better audience out there than a WFO crowd that's going to be out there voting for it. So, yeah, you know what? That's that's sort of new on me, but, hey, competition is the nature of the game. That's why we get involved with racing to begin with. So we just have to show the rest of the world that we've got someone to root for, so to speak.
Now, have you seen the finished cut? Is this one of those situations where I know you were obviously there for all the filming, but have you been able to screen what they're going to put up there, or is there a little bit of an element of what are they going to show? What aspects of me? How are they going to edit? How are they going to cut it? We've heard stories of people expect something to be one way and then it comes out another way. Is that a risk with you?
You know what? There's the risk, but here's the beauty of it. I kept it 100% authentic, which was fantastic, my team and I. But on the other side, I didn't give them anything that I didn't want them to have, so to speak. You know, I felt like, hey, as long as I be myself and however that comes across, then that's how it comes across. But no, it's going to be a complete surprise to me, man, and I'm eager to see exactly how they depict me on the show. You know, we'll see.
Well, that's part of the interesting aspect of it, because somebody who is basically presented, the editors, people who know the behind the scenes of that world, know that those editing guys are the guys that make it go. They get
them. Hey, look, dude, this is the way I see it, man. I'll know just how much those guys really like me based on how they edited the thing.
Yes, yes, because they're sick of you.
If they make me look terrible, then I already know, man. I must didn't send the right guy a Christmas gift, you know?
They have seen you ad nauseum. They are sick of seeing your face, I'm sure. Those editor guys, the way that they have to go over this. So you will definitely see who the most interesting people are, I'm sure. Folks, check out dreams2champions.com. That's dreams2champions.com. And you can vote for Brian. He's been on our show many times talking about this day, and this day is here. Brian, great scheduling on an NHRA Nitro night. Way to go.
I know, man. I'm telling you, it was almost like this was all orchestrated. We knew this way back in the day. I said, look,
I'm not debuting unless I can be on WFO, and it's got to coincide with the NHRA Nitro show. Otherwise, it ain't happening. And look at it.
Great organizational skills. All right, I'm about to vote for you as my favorite driver. Who's your pick to win, Brian?
You're the man.
Wait a second. I haven't seen the show. These other guys could be pretty good, Brian. What do you think? Should I wait?
Well, you know what? Here's the beauty, man. You got firsthand insight. Anytime you need behind the scenes, you can always hit me up. So you tell me.
All right, I'll vote for you. You got my vote.
Go for it.
Because you're a drag racer. That's why. As much as I like.
Shaking hands and kissing babies, Joe.
I like drifting. I appreciate it. The mountains of Akina in Japan, that's fine. And NASCAR, there's a spot in my heart. But come on, drag racing, that's what I do. I've already seen the promo. I know that you get the vote. Boom, submit.
Come on. Go get that OTA out of the mothballs, man, and bring her on back down to PBIR so you can show them how it's done, right?
It's ready. It's just about ready to roll, baby. Just about ready.
Man.
To roll. All right, 9 o'clock, folks. Speed TV, Speed Channel. You know Speed, 607 on DirecTV. I don't know what it is on Comcast. I'm a DirecTV guy at the moment. And TiVo it, DVR it. Brian, 2 episodes tonight. I like how they do that back-to-back, get you hooked. But then, when is the schedule?
Okay, so we're rocking and rolling. Every Tuesday, check your local listings. We've got 10 episodes total. They're already scheduled, already in the can. They're going to air every subsequent Tuesday at 9 p.m. Again, Dreams to Champions. There'll be multiple reruns, but you got to catch it on the first airing because that's the best way that you can really start the conversation. We've got our Facebook set up, our Twitter set up, so you can always interact with me. And you can also call into WFO, and if you got questions, perhaps Alan might be able to answer something on my behalf.
There you go. Are you going to be live tweeting? Are you going to be, is there a hashtag that you want to put out there if you're going to be, you know, I know you're going to be having a party, so you're probably going to be laid back hanging out. But maybe there'll be some people tweeting about the show, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, no doubt. You know what? Hashtag Dreams, the number 2, and then Champs. And then also hashtag me, Brian O, Brian O Racing.
Excellent.
There you go. And then that way they'll pick it up on the feed, and we'll see all the love from WFO Nation, you know?
Well, I hope they give you the love. I can't wait to see how it turns out. Again, my initial response to the promo, which is a great little sizzle teaser, looks pretty good. I can't wait to see how it all works out, some of the on-track action. The car is looking great, and I am excited to have been privy to the behind the scenes as this thing went down, as it was built. I know you were working very hard. So this is it. Finished product tonight, 9 p.m. Check it out, everybody. Brian Olatunji. Brian, thank you so much for coming on the show, not just tonight, but throughout. And we're going to be watching. Now, you're not going to go big time on us. That's the real deal.
Get out of here, Joe. You know that ain't happening, man. I'm from east side of Detroit. It doesn't matter what we accomplish, man. I'm always going to just be myself, you know?
Yeah, you were real close to Kelly Ripa, and you still hung. So if that didn't blow your head up, I don't think anything will.
Exactly, man. No, it's WFO, man, and we're gents for life, sir.
There you go. Brian, best of luck tonight. Have a great time at the party. Enjoy it. Have a great time. I'm sure you're going to be just over the moon. Because this is something that so many people in racing, I know what your real dream is to be on the track, but this is a very interesting route.
Absolutely.
You're obviously working really hard, so I wish you the best.
Hey, thank you, Joe, man. And to everyone out there, always appreciate the love and support. And Joe, man, you've always provided a tremendous platform, and I sincerely can't thank you enough from the bottom of my heart. That's from my team and everyone that's working with me. And obviously, I'm just elated and honored that you've taken the time out to give us this time over the past 6 to 8 months to promote the show. Thank you, sir.
No problem, Brian. Have fun tonight.
No doubt.
Brian Olatunji with us here on WFO Radio. The show is tonight, 9 o'clock, and I got to go. I got to go run and check it out. And it's Dreams to Champions, and I feel like we've been watching it. It's like from a seed, and you plant the seed, and you water the seed, and the seed bursts, and there's this little tiny plant, and now it's bearing fruit. Can't wait to see Brian O on the tube, and I have set my DVR. Now, a couple of things. Did mention that won the big Super Bowl bet with Ron Capps. That was kind of cool.
I love the fact that there's no drama and no superstar type of guys that are looking out for themselves in this year's Super Bowl. It's a bunch of team guys that bring it, and it's going to be fun to watch them on the game. So how about a dollar wager? How about that?
Let's do it. All right.
All right.
There it is. And if you saw the USA Today, there were photographs with Ron Capps holding the microphone in the background, which was very cool. I posted one of those on the WFO page on Facebook. Very cool. And just being there for that game. Blackout and all. Blackout and all. Very interesting. Some other news. Speaking of feedback, got a call to the wide open line, 954-889-6796, that I wanted to share with you guys.
Joe Costello, I'm sounding off like a soldier, buddy. This is Dale from Alabama. You are a professional talent that you don't even realize, guy. I've listened to your show. You need to put me on the radio, and I'll let everybody know what they're missing out on WFO Radio. Call me if you got time, Joe Costello.
Now, what's interesting about that is that is an old friend of mine, not that he is old, but that a friend from a long time ago. I just want to make that perfectly clear. In fact, when I first got my first track announcing job at Miami Hollywood Speedway, I posted it on Facebook a week ago, videos, basically a relic, a place from the past that is only left in my mind, where I think about myself as a youth, running around, learning to bracket race, checking out cars, hanging with my dad, my first job. And the person who was the track announcer there while I was also track announcer was this guy, Dale. Basically, the first person to mentor me in track announcing. Well, last week I get a call out of nowhere from him. He was perusing the drag racing websites and saw that I had achieved the County Line Dragway Track Championship in the street class. Yes, street class. I know it's important to some people that I referenced that it was in the street class. Hey, everybody, it was in the street class. But reaches out to me, heard from him, told him about the show. He's heard the show, and there he is. Isn't that cool? Totally full circle in life. So many great things came out of that facility, Miami Hollywood Speedway. And I posted those videos. It's actually an article from 2011 on dragzine.com. I guess they have a graveyard of old facilities and they do a throwback to them. And what an amazing video it was. And you can actually hear Dale himself announcing at the tail end. Unfortunately, it was like a Wednesday night washout. Very little racing going on. But great times. Dale, thanks for listening, bud, and I appreciate it. And just to think, from all those years ago till right now on WFO Radio, and we are just 1 week away from the Winter Nationals, the O'Reilly Auto Parts Winter Nationals. Now, I can tell you this. Next week on the show, I believe we're going to have a pretty big guest. It's going to be very fun. I wouldn't miss it. I'm going to need you all to retweet and post on Facebook and let it know. As soon as you see it, just send it out there. Remember, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Download the WFO Radio iPhone and Android application. Leave us a review. 50 stars. Super positive. Very, very helpful. I will be in Pomona Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I hope to meet as many of you out there as possible. Come on down. I know the Nitro Fanatics are going to be there. What about NAR? What about everyone? Where are we going to go? Rich and Saugus, his crew. We need to get everybody out there for the Winter Nationals. It is going to be a lot of fun. The first race of the 2013 Mellow Yellow Drag Racing season. I am very much looking forward to it. Also, want to let you guys know that we do the WFO Radio NASCAR Fantasy Leagues. We talk about it on Ignition, which happens on Wednesday. We'll be giving out the code very soon. And only people who email fantasy at WFOradio.com will receive the code. We want to make sure that the people who play are actually listeners. It's very important to us. So we got a lot going on. We are building up to critical mass, and it starts in a few weeks. Next weekend, with the first race of 2013 NHRA. Big thanks to Adrienne Ritter for coming on the show. She's a vice president. She doesn't have to talk to us. But now I feel very connected to what's going on at National Dragster. Steve Torrance for coming on the show. I'm sure he'd rather come on after a win, but maybe this is a prelude to something like that. Roger Richards. I'm a better photographer for it. Great having spoken with Roger, and thanks to Roger for coming on the show, taking a couple of shots of me. He's a miracle worker. How did that happen? Also, thanks to Brian O for coming on the show, and best of luck with his show, which is coming on like right now, or a few minutes ago, or in a few minutes. So we're going to run so you can all go watch Brian O's show, Dreams to Champions, on Speed TV. Great times, a lot of fun. Thanks to Alan Reinhart. Great job answering the questions. A lot going on in the world of NHRA. We're going to keep you locked in each Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, or on demand anytime afterwards right here on WFO Radio. That's going to do it, and we'll see you next time right here on WFO Radio.
WFO!
The views and opinions of the hosts, guests, or callers do not necessarily reflect that of the station ownership, advertisers, or agencies.